Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you are about to hear is a message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped, a special Christmas series from our TV broadcast, Prophetic Witness. For more information, visit billybrim.org.
The Bible calls Yom Rishon the first day. So, Shelley, read some of these.
Okay. Where would you like
read
for me
Mark,
to start?
Read Mark 16:2. This is Mark 16:2.
And very early in the morning, and we're going to emphasize the next two words, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun.
Now, read 16:9.
All right, Mark 16:9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day, which would be Sunday of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven devils.
Okay, that's the witness of Mark. And the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses is everything established.
Right.
So we see that Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which is Yom Rishon, or we say Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, Shelley, if you want to get real technical about this.
Let's get technical.
Here you got first day, second day, and you go to the seventh day. And then when the new group arises, that's the eighth day. And it means new beginnings. So we began with new beginnings.
Glory.
Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And that's called Yom Rishon.
Yes.
Which is the first day. Or after 7 days, it's a new day.
Seven plus one being eight means new beginning.
New beginning. So now read read also John 20.
John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark into the sepulcher and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulcher.
So Mary was there on the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Now John 20, 19.
Okay. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Shalom be unto you.
Shalom aleichem.
Shalom aleichem.
Yeah, peace be upon you. But this was the first day of the week. Now, okay, Jesus was raised from the dead. He appeared to them on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene was there the first day of the week.
Yes.
Now we're going to move over into the book of Acts, and we're going to see some things about the church.
So Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight.
So they're gathered on the first day of the week. They're having a church service on Sunday.
Yes.
And now we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 16:2. And of course, you know, Paul wrote this.
Yes. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
All right, now Paul here is taking up an offering. He's going to come, and he's come to the church of Corinth, and he tells them he needs an offering for a certain group of people that needed help. And he said, now you start laying it by so that when I get there, I won't have to gather it up.
Right.
You know, sometimes
saving some time.
Yeah. Maybe. And sometimes I've gone to churches, Shelley, and maybe it's a little church, and they wanted to give me a nice offering. And so they had been receiving an offering for a few weeks every Sunday morning. They had been receiving
gathering
a little bit. They've been gathering it up. And that's what he asked them to do here. But when was their day that they were normally meeting?
The first day of the week, Sunday.
The first day of the week. So they were going to, Sunday by Sunday, they were going to gather it up. And then when Paul gets there and preaches to them, it's going to be all gathered. So we find that the pattern for the ecclesia, the assembly, the body of Christ, the new creature.
Yes, the third group of people.
The third group of people, their practice was to meet on the day their Lord arose.
Yes.
So that's why we meet on Sunday, not because somebody tells us it's a pagan god named it and it's a pagan day.
And
we've got to worship on the Sabbath. We're not Jews.
No, we're not.
The Jews are Jews.
Exactly.
Let the Jews be Jews.
And we're not completed Jews either.
No. We're born again new creatures.
Right.
And so...
new species.
New species.
New beginning. New meeting on the first day of the week, Sunday. I'm so thankful for knowing the truth.
Yeah.
It sets us free.
Yeah, we're free. So praise the Lord. We're going to go, Shelley, into more detail on why we worship on the 25th of December. We're going to do that in our next program.
Good.
Because that's another thing they try to put to us, the pagans. The pagans, the pagans, the pagans. The pagans aren't ruling me. The Bible is ruling me.
Exactly.
Bless the Lord. And we're following the Bible just like they did in those early days.
Yes,
follow that word of God. And the word of God is so precious, Shelley.
Yes, it is, Mom.
So very, very precious. I've been reading a lot about what it was like in that time when Jesus was born. It was not an easy time.
No. The Roman government was It was wicked. To see all those, like, crucifixions and persecution, it was terrible the time Jesus was born.
Yes, it was. And those early disciples, that word of God, you know, they didn't have, and we're going to read some scriptures which point us to the prophets, because Peter definitely pointed them to the prophets.
Yes.
He said, those prophets, they wrote as holy men of old when God moved upon them. And Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecies.
Well, think about the two men on the road to
Emmaus
and how Jesus appeared to them. And he opened up with the prophets. And so even Jesus, after his resurrection, endorsed the importance of going to the prophets to see why he had to suffer and then come into his glory. So if he did that in his resurrected body appearing to those two men, how much more the same Holy Spirit is going to lead us into the prophets of old. And we're going to see where we are in the
And you know, Shelley, in what we call the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
Matthew was God's keeper record of the prophecies being fulfilled.
He was a good Jewish boy, wasn't he?
Oh, man, he was.
He knew how to keep
books. He was a tax collector. He knew how to keep books.
Yes, it's a compliment.
And he showed how the prophecies were fulfilled.
Yes.
He showed how the prophecies...
He was meticulous about it.
He was meticulous about it. Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to really get over into him, too, when we get to... but I learned this, and this just thrilled me. Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it gives here all of the, now this is actually here, this is, we have Mary's lineage in another place, but here we have the right to being in the lineage, the royal lineage of David. We hear that right here in this chapter.
Okay.
And he begins and he says, and he gives all the begats. Verse 6, Jesse begat David. So that's going to put us in the kingly line here. But this scripture right here is so telling. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Mm-hmm. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto the Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, that doesn't mean much to us in our Western minds. But I actually had someone who was a rabbi, and he showed me this. He wasn't trying to prove that Jesus was. He was just showing me this. And 14, David's name, as you know, every letter in the Hebrew alphabet is
a number. Number.
It's a number. Mm-hmm. So in David, his name is David, and it's Dalet, Vav, Dalet. And the Dalet is the number 4.
Yes.
And the Vav is the number 6. And then the last Dalet is 4. So if you add 4 plus 6 plus 4, you get 14.
So David's name is 14.
Yeah. And the generations here that it says from David are, from Abraham to David are 14, from David until the carrying away to Babylon are 14, from the carrying away from Babylon unto the Messiah is 14 generations. So here we have, our Western minds are oblivious to it, but here we have the Bible showing and Matthew showing the fulfillment of the prophecies and showing that the number 14 is over and over here.
Yes.
Because he's the son of David.
Yes.
He is David's greater son.
Yes.
He is the King of Kings. Joy to the world. You know who wrote the words of that?
Who?
Charles Wesley.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's one of my favorite songs.
Me too.
He didn't write it as a Christmas song. He just wrote it, Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And so that's what this is all about. And people will try to steal the joy of Christmas. We talked about that last time. We talked about the book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And we talked about it's the very nature of the devil to try to steal your joy.
Yes.
And it is written, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we talked about last time how they try to steal us from saying Merry Christmas. I think we got over that.
I think so.
This year, people are just saying Merry Christmas everywhere.
Right.
And then we talked about how on the other, way over here on this other...
As the pendulum swings, you can get back and forth.
Brother Hagin said, you can get in the ditch on either side of any question.
That's the truth.
And the best thing is just stay down the middle of the road.
Good word.
So some of the times the super religious, I mean, they don't even decorate for Christmas.
Well, I'd hate to be their kid.
Wouldn't you hate to be their kid?
Thank God.
And because, you know, pagan holiday. Well, I talked about last time how I was in Russia, Soviet Russia, where people went to jail for celebrating Christmas.
Right.
And we were there in January, and we found this incriminating little metallic icicle like we used to.
Little evidence.
In the window. If somebody had seen it, they'd send them to jail for it. Well, I'll tell you right now, thank God we don't have to be so politically correct over here that we can't enjoy the joy of Christmas. You'd be miserable if you lived in Branson, because guess what?
We celebrate
from
the mountaintops. Hey, you can't even go downtown without seeing this beautiful, in our landing area, there's a nice little beautiful place to shop, and there's also this beautiful Lake Taneycomo, more like a river, and they're on the cliffs. I mean, as you're shopping, you can see it, and it's this nativity scene, and it's bigger than, larger than life, and it's so glorious, and it shows Mary and Joseph and the baby and the animals.
Shelly, that's really old. I mean, that's been a tradition.
Been going for years. It's tradition.
And people fuss about it.
And it's like the heartbeat of our city.
Yeah.
You know?
We have a Christmas parade.
Oh, it's had opposition.
Oh, yeah. And they call it the celebration parade. And they celebrate his coming.
So it's like in your face, here we are. God bless America. We have freedom. And we have the freedom and the right, because Jesus paid for it with his precious blood.
Yes.
To celebrate Christmas. So we have tinsel.
Yes, we do. And bubbles and every kind of a thing. And I shout for every bit of it, because since I saw that icicle and know that people went to jail for celebrating Christmas, I say that every bauble, everything shouts, Jesus came.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We hope you enjoyed the message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped. For more information, visit billybrim.org.